In the corridor, he saw the flashing sign that indicated the source of the trouble. Autopsy. As he ran down the corridor, a quiet, soothing voice on the loudspeaker said, "Seal has been broken in autopsy. Seal has been broken in autopsy. This is an emergency." A lab technician came out of the lab and saw him. "What is it?" "Burton, I think. Infection spread." Levitt came out of the morphology room and joined them. Suddenly, Levitt stopped. He stood, riveted to the ground, and stared straight forward at the flashing sign and the light above it, blinking on and off. Hall stopped and went back. "Peter, come on, we need your—" He said nothing more. A small dribble of spittle was coming from the corner of Levitt's mouth. Hall quickly stepped behind him. With frightening speed, Levitt's knees gave way, and he collapsed to the floor. He lay on his back, and his whole body began to vibrate. His head hammered against the floor. Hall slipped his foot beneath the back of Levitt's head and let him bang against his toes. "He may go into status," Hall said to the technician. "Go to the pharmacy, get me 100 milligrams of phenobarb, now, in a syringe." As soon as he injected the barbiturate, he told the technician, "I think he'll be all right, don't try to move him." And Hall ran down to the autopsy lab. For several seconds, he tried to open the door to the lab, and then he realized it had been sealed off. The lab was contaminated. He went on to main control and found Stone looking at Burton through the closed-circuit TV monitors. Burton was breathing in rapid, shallow gasps, and he could not speak. He looked exactly like what he was, a man waiting for death to strike him. Stone was trying to reassure him. "Just take it easy. Take it easy." Stone turned to Hall. "You took your time getting here. Where's Levitt?"
"Your lights flash at 3 per second, and he had a seizure."
"What?" Stone asked.
"Petite mal. It went on to a grand mal attack, tonic-clonic seizure, urinary incontinence, the whole bit. I got him onto phenobarb and came as soon as I could."
"Levitt has epilepsy?"
"That's right."
"He must not have known," Stone said. "He must not have realized."
And then Stone remembered the request for a repeat electroencephalogram. "Ah," Hall said, "he knew all right. He was avoiding flashing lights, which will bring on an attack. I'm sure he knew."
"We've got pure oxygen running into Burton," Stone said. "That should help him until we know something more."
Stone flicked off the microphone button connecting voice transmission to Burton.
"Actually, it will take several minutes to hook in, but I've told them we've already started. He's sealed off in there, so the infection has stopped at that point. The rest of the base is okay, at least."
"How did it happen?" Hall asked. "The contamination."
"Seal must have broken," Stone said. "So many seals, so much rubber, of such and such a thickness, they'd all break given time. Burton happened to be there when one went."
Hall didn't see it so simply. He looked in at Burton, who was breathing rapidly, his chest heaving in terror.
Hall said, "How long's it been?"
4 minutes.
"Burton's still alive," Hall said.
"Yes, thank God." And then Stone frowned. He realized the point.
"Why," Hall said, "is he still alive?"
"The oxygen?"
"You said yourself the oxygen isn't running yet. What's protecting Burton?"
Burton interrupted them before Stone had a chance to answer. Stone did his best to calm him, then turned off the microphone again and said to Hall,
"We know that the oxygen inhibits growth of the Andromeda strain. That will be good for Burton. It will be good for him, make him a little giddy, a little relaxed, and slow his breathing down. Poor fellow is scared to death."
Somehow Stone's phrase stuck in Hall's mind. Scared to death. He thought about it, and then began to see that Stone had hit upon something important. The phrase was a clue. It was the answer.